Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hour number two, sports is back live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor just gave me a great gift, a desktop stand for my cell phone, because as you know from my Instagram Live, I don't know what the hell I'm doing with my cell phone, and I'm always holding it weirdly, and then it sound makes a bad noise.
Yeah, you can't like lean it up against stuff, because then like the sound cuts off on the bottom. I have a whole like phone tripod, but I felt like that was too much for you. So listen, this is really simple.
We've worked together 2 years, I get a gift. 9 years with Goulet, I haven't gotten a bag of potato chips.
I don't know if I believe that.
All right. No, he's right.
Well, he had a nice vacation last week, went to Connecticut, and even when his move, he was helping his mother move.
That's nice.
John's a grinder. Okay, we do it every Monday. I have a lot of big opinions. I swing and miss a lot, hold ourselves accountable. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong on a Monday, here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Don't think the Lakers are a championship team, and it all comes down to one fundamental issue. I don't trust the supporting cast. They have no number three. Yesterday against Toronto, LeBron goes to the bench. Raptors 10-0 run. Danny Green, 20 minutes, 0 points. Folks, you can't win a championship if you do not have a dependable three. This is a weird reality show. Hard Knocks meets the Lakers group of disparate parts. But I like Danny Green, but I don't depend on him as a number three guy. So, I mean, last year in Toronto, he was their four. There were times he was a five. So I just don't think they're a championship team. And I think you've seen this now. AD yesterday faltered, and there's nobody there to pick up the pieces.
Where Colin was wrong.
Russell Westbrook played as good an NBA game as he has in a long time, and the Rockets are 2-0 in the bubble. They're not only 2-0, but they've been great defensively down the stretch against Milwaukee, and they've been great late in games. Dallas outplayed them. Yeah, they got it to overtime and won. Milwaukee outplayed them for most of the game. Last 7 minutes, 6 minutes, they outplayed them. That's always been the Achilles heel of Houston. They unravel late in games. Westbrook unravels late. Harden unravels. They don't play defense. Yesterday, they were great late, and they played real defense. Westbrook was sensational. Almost perfect at the free throw line. 10 of 21. I got all the good side of Westbrook. I love that play. Huge energy, and I got efficiency. When I can get efficiency from Westbrook, that's when we can talk MVP. Not triple doubles. When I get the energy, the intensity, and I don't get these highs and lows, he was a really special player yesterday.
Where Colin was right.
Russell Wilson finally got respect. I've been saying this for years. NFL top 100, he was not only the second player, he was above Patrick Mahomes. He has done more with less offensively than any player in this league in recent memory. O-lines have been below average. Pro Football Focus has that at 28 this year. Their best running back's a seventh rounder. They don't really address the tight end situation, and their defense isn't what it used to be. He was also one of the four players, quarterbacks ever, to be a unanimous tier one player in that athletic piece they do. So this week, players respect him, NFL.com list, and executives respect him, the athletic piece. It's about time.
Where Colin was wrong.
Carson Wentz, however, was not a top 100 player, and Josh Allen was. Okay, take out his rookie year. Never count a rookie. We don't count Mahomes' rookie year, Lamar's rookie year. Take out his rookie year. He has a 98 passer rating, 81 touchdowns, 21 picks, and that's last year losing everybody on the perimeter and having offensive line issues. I don't get it. I don't get what people are not seeing. Well, Nick Foles. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl based on home field playoff games accumulated by great play, MVP-level play by Carson Wentz. Howie Roseman's a smart GM. Even with the injury, signed him early to a deal. I don't get what you don't see.
Where Colin was right.
Now, 8 Patriots have opted out. Sure, it's all just a crazy, zany coincidence. I've been on this for 2 months. They didn't have a plan post-Brady. they didn't keep their own free agents. They weren't aggressive on the free agent market. They let their kicker go. And players they thought, they're really good players. And now, five times the league average. Some teams haven't had a player opt out. They're up to eight. An NFL exec said last week, doubling down on what we said, this is not random. Bill's up to something. What is he up to? Belichick, like everybody in the NFL, scouts 2 years in advance. They know this is the first time in years there are three A-plus quarterback prospects. You can't win in this league, as New England knows, without a Hall of Fame-level guy consistently running the ship, and they want one of them.
Where Colin was wrong.
If you'd have told me that Carmelo Anthony at 36 would be in great shape and a crucial piece to a team, I would have laughed. Carmelo Anthony matters to the Blazers. They got Nurkic. They got points down low. They got Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. They don't have a wing score. Melo's in the best shape of his life, totally coachable, and he's frankly incredibly crucial to this offense. They don't have a wing score. They got great guards who don't play a lot of D, and Nurkic is a dog. He is a really good player, and he's back. But they don't have a wing score. Melo, prove me wrong. He's really important. He's in really good shape. He is totally accepting his role. Took a while, but when Portland picked him up, I said, oh, give me a break. It's a paycheck. Nope. He matters. He's there. He's current. He's into it. And he's hitting shots that matter.
Where Colin was right.
Kyler Murray made the top 100 list. This kid is special. Outside of Arizona, watch more Cardinal games than anybody in the league. I'll tell you right now, I think he throws the most catchable football. I think he's got great accuracy, unbelievable playmaking footwork. And behind last year an offensive line, in the toughest division in football, behind a very mediocre offensive line, 20 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, and a passer rating in the high 80s. He gave San Francisco's defensive line fits. He beat Seattle as well. And he played 1 year of college football. Like, I did not think it was going to be this good, but I said by about week 3, okay, this is Russell Wilson. A little smaller version. I think he may throw a better ball than Russell Wilson. And NFL players voted him in the top 100, and I think he is. I think he is a top 100 player right now.
Where Colin was wrong.
I never thought in a million years the New York Jets would get 2 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a starting safety for Jamal Adams. The safety position of the 10 units in the NFL, only tight end, pays less than safety. Jamal Adams fetched that? That's incredible. In fact, only 8 players in the last 20 years have fetched 2 first-round picks. 8! And they're like all offensive players except for like Khalil Mack. You do not get 2 first-rounders, a third, and a starter, a good starter at safety for a safety, blew me away. I mean, I said, you have to trade him at that point. I mean, I love my house. If you're going to pay 35% more than it's worth, I'm going to move. I mean, at that point for the Jets, you're doing really a disservice to your organization because you have Marcus May, who's already a very good young safety. You're just making a mistake. If you don't take 2 firsts, a third, and a starter, you don't know what you're doing. Like, they had to move him. And I am shocked the haul they got.
Where Colin was right.
Said it in 2017, 3 years ago. Aaron Judge is the next face of baseball. He's got a Zion quality. The look, the likability, the joyfulness, the charisma, the size. And he is Paul Bunyan. I saw him hit 2 jacks yesterday. I'll let you see, I think, the second one we got. This is Babe Ruthian. Watch.
Fly ball, deep left field, way back there. Aaron Judge, adios, amigo. Oh, is he hot? His second home run of the night. Aaron Judge is guilty of putting the Yankees into the lead with his second home run of the night, a bomb into the night. It is 9-7 New York.
Listen, they did this thing years ago, chicks dig the long ball. That was like a big baseball-like marketing thing. You can't deny it. Big home run hitters, when they hit them like that, he hit one in the second deck. It's the Zion quality. It's like people don't hit second deck homers all the time. And he's got the look and the size, and this is the one I saw live. Look at that puppy. That is a monster. So here he is.
Where Colin was right.
Sam Darnold continues to get absolutely no help. Baker Mayfield got an all-star team. Josh Allen's got a great coaching staff. In 1 week, Jamal Adams was traded and C.J. Mosley opt out. And the week before, Jamal Adams ripped the coach and the owner's saying stupid crap. I mean, in the noisiest offseason, what do we always say? The noisier your offseason, the worse your regular season. It's like Dallas last year had an incredibly noisy offseason. They underachieved. The Jets are the noisiest team in the NFL. The coach, the star player, the owner. Thank God Joe Douglas knows what he's doing as GM. What a shock. A mess with the Jets. So we're going to do that. One of my favorite games, I'm going to do it before the end of the hour, is a fake press conference. You know, our president says fake news. So we take it a step further. We do a fake press conference.
Yes.
With Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. I think Matt LaFleur stepped in it yesterday, and I think he's a smart guy. But I thought Aaron Rodgers was honest last week. He's like, I ain't going to be here in a few years. And Matt LaFleur's like, he's going to be here forever, which means you took a first-round pick for a guy that's not going to play and gave up another pick to get him? What the hell are you doing? So we're going to do a fake Matt LaFleur press conference in about 40 minutes. Chris Broussard is next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
On Saturday, two top welterweights, Jamal Shango James and Tomas Dulorme, battle for the interim title. The hard-hitting action begins at 8 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Excited for that. I can't tell you the joy. I was talking to Jenny before the show, and I haven't asked you this. I just watched sports all day yesterday. That's all
wonderful.
I did all day. On the couch. I was just I went for a jog in the morning. You know, I like to keep toned. Anywho. And then I got home at 6:30. I had a coffee, and I just sat on the couch. I made some salmon. I had a friend over for lunch. I had a cocktail. I just sat and watched sports all day. I watched Brooks Koepka, and Phil Mickelson was in the hunt on Sunday. I watched the Yankees, Red Sox. God, it was fun.
It feels very normal.
Yes.
And that's like something to feel grateful for these days. Like just having the ability to turn on sports again.
And then go to a restaurant.
Yes.
Those are open too.
Yes. But the sports part is crucial to us.
Yes.
And for just being comfortable and getting back to some sort of normalcy. Like watching the guys on TNT was like, okay, this feels like life again.
Yeah. I need it.
Even though it's the longest table.
Okay.
On planet Earth.
But let's go. Chris Broussard, former New York Times sports writer, Fox Sports NBA analyst, is joining us. So it's interesting. I can admit when I'm wrong. It's so infrequent, but when I am, I bring it up. So I thought, first of all, I thought Westbrook was great yesterday. I thought the Rockets played defense. I thought in both the Dallas and Milwaukee games, they were outplayed. I watched they were outplayed, but Westbrook was great in the last 6 minutes. Maybe it's the rest. These guys are not, these guys are rested, but where do you put Houston right now?
Well, first of all, I'm just stunned that you gave Russell Westbrook some credit. You ripped him for averaging a triple-double. So I am impressed by that. But look, I think I've thought this all season, they're the third best team in the West. They're behind the two LA teams. If I had to pick which LA team I think they could beat, it would be the Lakers. And the Lakers have trouble guarding the perimeter. We've seen that. And obviously that's the strength of the Houston Rockets. Now, if they meet in the second round, which is what the schedule would bear out right now, I would pick the Lakers. But I think Houston would give them all sorts of problems. And I think a few things have happened for them, Colin. Number one, going to small ball made them less Harden-centric. As great as James Harden is, they were too Harden-centric. Now he and Russ feel more like a two-headed monster versus a definitive number one Harden and a definitive number two Russ. Like, if they win the championship, I don't think they will, but if they did, who's to say Westbrook wouldn't be the one to lead them? I mean, he's been terrific. 31 points, 8 assists, 8.5 rebounds in the bubble. He keeps so much pressure on the defense with his intensity and just his constant attack mode game that it really is. He is just as effective as Harden, but in a different way. So, and then to your point, They have played great defense when they've had to. Now, at times, against Dallas, the first three quarters, I tweeted it, and it was true. The middle was parting like the Red Sea on every possession. It was ridiculous. But in the fourth quarter, they held Dallas, which is the most efficient offensive team in the league, they held them to 20 points in the fourth quarter. They forced Milwaukee into 23 turnovers yesterday. So when they need to defend, they've been able to. And then finally, that three-point shot. Look, yeah. They took 61 of them. That you don't even have to be that efficient. They shot 34%. But if you shoot that many of them and hit 33%, that's the equivalent of 50% from two. And that's the math that D'Antoni and Daryl Morey think will get them over the top.
You know, it's funny. When we talk about Lakers, we see LeBron and Anthony Davis's offense. But here's something I notice. These teams in the bubble, Houston shooting nothing but threes. Clippers shooting nothing but threes. The Lakers are old. They don't have wing defenders. I mean, the league is now, I don't know what it is about this bubble, but it feels like everybody in the league has said, okay, the gloves are off. We're just shooting threes. Chris, the Lakers can't defend the three. It's a real problem for them.
It's a major problem. And you've seen it in these two games
yes.
in the bubble. Look at their perimeter defenders. Deion Waiters, not much of a defender. Alex Caruso, it has his limitations. And then you got J.R. Smith, who's hardly even playing, but he's certainly at his age, to all that time off, not going to defend great. You say, well, hold on. Danny Green and KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, they can't hit a shot. Danny Green is 2-for-13. KCP is 4-for-15 in the bubble. So they haven't been able to stay on the floor because they can't hit the open threes they're getting. So the Lakers have real problems defending. They had Kyle Kuzma trying to guard Kyle Lowry yesterday, and Lowry, of course, goes for 33. In these two games in the bubble, Colin, the Lakers have given up an average of 15 three-pointers per game. There is not a team in the league that is giving up on average more than 13 threes a game, let alone 15. So the Lakers, they have not been able to guard, and LeBron can't guard everybody. We saw against the Clippers,
yeah.
He can guard when he wants to, but he can't guard everyone. That is a major problem, and that's why the loss of Avery Bradley is big, and
yep.
Rajon Rondo will be back, so hopefully he can help him in
yep. that
regard.
Yep, no, that we talked about that. Okay, so the Zion thing is like it's bubble wrap. You know, he's the handle with care FedEx pack. It's to a point where, I mean, let's just say it. We've wanted to watch him at Duke. He got hurt. Summer League got hurt. This year got banged up. Are they being too cautious?
Colin, we're making up new language for him. Burst, man. What is it called? Burst restriction? What? That is hilarious. Burst restrictions? I mean, come on. So, I feel, Colin, like they are babying. They know he's fragile. That's the bottom line. But it is getting to the point where it's downright ridiculous. And I believe this. Now, I know there are people in the league, people in that organization who feel like his size, his strength, his girth is a big part of his effectiveness. But I look at his history. I look at NBA history. And I say this guy's got to drop 30 to 40 pounds.
Wow.
So to stay healthy. 30 pounds. Charles Barkley dropped what? About 40 pounds? 40 pounds? When he came into the league, he came in overweight. And if you look at him in his prime, he was just solid and big, not overweight. I think Zion needs to do that. Colin, he got hurt in high school. He got hurt in college. He got hurt in summer league. He got hurt in preseason. He came back from 3 months off into the bubble and couldn't get through practices. Now he's back. And they got him on a 15-minute burst restrictions, three minutes at a time. What is going on? I mean, he with his torque and all that he puts on his body, I just can't – Derrick Rose couldn't survive it. How in the world is Zion going to survive it? I qualified. I'm not a doctor. But something's wrong when the guy's 20 years old and we're low managing him from day one and there's really no injury.
Right.
There's no clear injury.
Yeah, no, it's when you lay out his history of injuries, it's scary because he plays with such incredible torque. So, you know, I was thinking about this. It's really unbelievable what Adam Silver has dealt with. So Adam Silver loses his mentor, David Stern dies. He loses one of the great global basketball ambassadors, men or women, Kobe. COVID, the China debacle, the Kyrie pushback, let's close the season. Black Lives Matter in a league where it probably has the most outspoken and crucial socially interested athletes in America. And they work seamlessly with it. There have been all these little challenges, all these challenges. And I'm watching the NBA and I'm like, this is unbelievable. There has never been a commissioner in my life that has lost his mentor, his ambassador. He's dealt with COVID. He got pushback, a major social movement, the China debacle, which is just bad press. Chris, I'm kind of blown away by it. I think Adam Silver, whatever the raise is, his player, his stars like him. I think his owners have to be overwhelmingly happy. We mostly thought they were going to go right to the playoffs. They get these eight regular season games in. That's a bigger check for owners. I'm blown away by how good it looks. Your thoughts on this?
No, he's been great. And I've always said, you know, a lot of people would go with a football commissioner, but I've always gone with David Stern as the best commissioner in American sports history because of he had obstacles to overcome. You know, there were racial obstacles. The league had a bad reputation. And, you know, he turned it into this global power in his years as commissioner. But Adam Silver has stepped in and done a terrific job. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When you look at what's going on with the NBA in the bubble compared to Major League Baseball, and the fact that baseball didn't put their league in a bubble or bubbles, it is night and day the difference between the two leagues. And you said it. I'm watching these games, and I thought it would look like a bunch of guys playing open gym. It doesn't look like they're playing in an empty gymnasium. What they're doing with the fans is tremendous, you know, as far as the little faces up there and all that.
Yeah.
I think the crowd noise that they're putting in is awesome because it feels like a college game.
Yeah.
Like, it really sounds like the intensity is nonstop, and it looks tremendous on television. He has done a remarkable job. I have to give him credit. I have wondered sometimes, can you be that much of a player's commissioner?
Yeah.
But so far, so good for Adam Silver.
Well, yeah, and I said this last week, is when you fight hard for the players, kids don't want to disappoint their parents if they feel their parents have their back. When a commissioner is so pro-player, the players don't want to disappoint him. And his star players, I mean, I'm watching Damian Lillard. It looks like game seven of the finals. I mean, these guys are chirping and pushing, and they're into it. And I'm like, I mean, I'm just telling you, as a consumer of sports, the quality of it, UFC, MLS, and the NBA, I've just kind of been blown away by it. Chris Broussard, it's great seeing you, my man. Great seeing you.
You too, as always, man.
Take care, Chris. By the way, got a new do-it-yourself project this summer, building a new bar cart. Spice up my daily happy hour routine. Delivered it, putting it together as we speak. Go to Lowe's.com. Tell us how you're doing. Show us your transformations with hashtag Lowe's Goals. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The Lakers had a strong showing in their first game against the Clippers, but they couldn't keep it going Saturday against the Raptors. Man. Their stars got off to a very slow start. LeBron only scoring 7 points and Anthony Davis only 1 point in the first half. The team also shot a season low 35.4% from the field. Kyle Lowry led Toronto to the 107-92 win with 33 points and a career high 14 rebounds. This was the Lakers' 11th straight loss to the Raptors.
If you watch the game, they got worked. Toronto plays real defense, has a bunch of veterans. They got worked by Toronto.
Toronto is a great team. Yeah. Like, they obviously, you know, lost Kawhi Leonard, so that's a huge loss for them. But that they were a perennial playoff team before that. They have a great system and great players. This isn't really surprising to me. I don't think that the Raptors are a championship team this year, but they're still going to give everyone lots of problems. There wasn't a huge drop-off from, I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a superstar, right? So when I say there's not a huge drop-off, the system, the players that are there is a good system, a good coach, good players. Kawhi takes you to the next level. He puts you in the championship category.
They don't have a great player, but they've got what I would call seven really high-end players.
Yes.
And I also think they may have the best coach in the league. I think they're as smart, as situationally deft. They're a tough out. They're long. You can say, by the way, the Clippers and the Raptors are the two teams that give LeBron trouble. Like, you don't get any gimmies. There's no freebies with them defensively.
Well, yeah, and LeBron talked about it after the game, that they're a championship-run organization. Like, they are a well-run organization that comes to play every night. That's why I liked them last year, because they are always right there, right? And they needed that piece to put them over. So while the Kawhi Leonard situation looked like it was going to be very random, like, he's what takes you to the next level.
They had a moment in this game where they had 10 passes before they found the open shooter. Like, it is almost collegiate. Like, to get players to buy into the secret sauce.
They do have a little bit of a elite collegiate feel to them.
Seven guys that can play. They totally buy into their coach's system, and they play real grown-up defense. They make you earn every basket.
You know, Chris Bosh earlier saying that it does feel like the NCAA tournament.
There's no question.
Because you have basketball all day long.
But way better skill.
Yes, but like the fact that they are like in one place, and it's like it feels like the tournament. The Lakers play the Jazz tonight. So the Broncos have lost a big piece for 2020. Right tackle Juwan James has decided to opt out of the season.
They have a bad left tackle too.
James was one of Denver's big acquisitions before last season, signing a 4-year, $51 million deal.
That's not good.
He's only played a total of 63 snaps over three games in 2019. He was dealing with knee injuries. Yeah, this is
not good. They have a left tackle issue. Now they got a right tackle. So this is, I think, this is like a big deal for a young quarterback to be. So last year, what was the quarterback that had bad tackles? Baker Mayfield. So you if you have two bad, what is the single thing the Jets addressed this year? Tackles. This is bad for Denver. Listen, the NFL opts out of players all the time. If players want to opt out, they can, but this is not good for Denver.
No, and again, like anyone who's opting out of this season, you can
do what you want to do.
Regardless of how much he's being paid or how many snaps, it just doesn't matter. This season is not a normal situation. For whatever reason a player doesn't want to play, they should not be judged in any capacity.
Teams opt out of dudes all the time. I mean, the offensive, the guard for the Jets this weekend who thought he was going to get a run at, boom, you're out. That's the league. So don't be shocked if occasionally.
Right. The players are the ones taking the risk this year.
Yes.
So, and no matter what anyone says, if they're in a situation where they feel comfortable financially and they don't want to put themselves at risk or put their family at risk, then they should do that. But this is really bad for Drew Lock and the Broncos. Last season, Elijah Wilkinson started 12 games in place of Juwan James and allowed 10 sacks, which was the fourth most of any tackle in 2019. He will likely start in his place, but he's currently on the physically unable to perform list because he had offseason ankle injury. So this is a really big deal. So the Patriots are starting their next chapter with a new quarterback under center. And while Bill Belichick is happy to have Cam on the roster, he said Cam is going to have to earn his spot like everyone else.
We spent, quite a bit of time with Cam, and he spent quite a bit of time with us. I think it was some, mutual interest, and it was very positive on our end, and I'm glad it worked out. That spot's the same as all the other spots on the team. We got a long way to go, and, we'll see how things turn out. I can't control how players perform. That's up to them. We'll give everybody an opportunity and, see what happens.
This is now not a good roster. Go. All you have to do is go look at the players who have opted out or not been re-signed. They have lost 9 productive players.
I didn't think it was a great roster before those 9 players opted
out. Tom Brady left because literally.
All we could hear last year was that he had no pieces and that he was making it all work.
They lost 9 of their best pieces.
Right.
This is like, let's just be honest. Miami's better. The Jets will actually be better. And Buffalo could be way better with Stephon Diggs. I'm going to say it right now. 5-11.
I do think it's a massive deal, all the players that have opted
out. Oh, my God.
Which, again, is their prerogative to do.
Good
players.
And I'm
very excited that Cam has an opportunity. I like Cam. I want to see what he does this year. But I do think we all need to just temper the expectations. If he has a great year, it's going to be
unbelievable
on Cam. Because, he will deserve credit for it. Because this is not an ideal situation he's walking
You know into. How I always have my NFL predictions after the draft. I wait for free agency in the draft, and then I do my NFL predictions because, you get like 7-8 new players. And then I do one based on post-camp, like injuries. We have to have an opt-out. I mean, I had New England at 9-7 with Cam. New England now, to me, is a 5-11 football team. They have all these guys opted out.
All around the league, there's been very significant
We should do it
opt-outs.
This week. So I'm going to
post-opt-out predictions?
Yes. So Thursday, I'm going to do an NFL I'm going to do my NFL predictions because New England is not the same roster. They're just not. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Coming up next, Aaron Rodgers said, listen, they drafted a quarterback first round. I'm not going to retire here. Totally forthright. Matt LaFleur said this weekend, Aaron is going to be here a long time. Backing up Jordan Love. So you gave away a first pick for a guy that's not going to play it? How you doing? I'm going to do a fake press conference. I do this when I get frustrated by a coach or a GM that goes to the microphone and is not prepared. We'll have a fake Packer press conference next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back. By the way, whether you're working from home or working out, working on the road, Raycon wireless earbuds. Go to raycon.com/herd. Save 15%. So Aaron Rodgers came out last week, very mature, very adult. Aaron comes out and talks about, listen, man, you don't move up in the first round to get a quarterback and think I'm going to play for the next 10 years and end my career in Green Bay. Then yesterday, Matt LaFleur came out, and instead of just being brutally honest, it was kind of this disingenuous, phony PC, I love Aaron. Okay, so I'm going to put Aaron's bites, juxtapose them next to Matt LaFleur's bites. Aaron's temperament, I feel he's being totally forthright and honest with me. Not so much the coach.
Just look at the facts. You know, they traded up, they drafted him. I would say they like him. They want to play him.
Right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time.
Now I think quarterbacks are playing earlier. It gives, you know, gives some latitude for young coaches and GMs.
Nothing's guaranteed in this league, but I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis.
Was I bummed out? Of course. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't be? Mm-hmm. You know, like I wanted to play my entire career in Green Bay. I love the city. I grew up there.
You know, I don't see that changing for a really long time.
So if Matt LaFleur is being honest, and I don't think he is, Green Bay doesn't know what they're doing. So Green Bay, I don't believe, has as good a roster as six NFC teams. San Francisco, Philly, Saints, Tampa, Minnesota, Dallas. Better than Seattle, barely. Well, just take San Francisco. San Francisco played Green Bay twice. Significantly better roster. They added two first-round picks that can play. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver, Arizona State, really good. In Shanahan's system, pop first year. And then a Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle. Oh, by the way, they got Trent Williams. They traded for a Hall of Fame left tackle. Green Bay, I'm supposed to believe, picked a player in the first round who won't play and then gave up a fourth rounder to move up and get him. What are you doing? Aren't you chasing San Francisco? San Francisco added three great players, and they're already better. Like, what are you doing? Like, to me, Aaron's being totally forthright, no passive aggressive. Listen, I get the game. Green Bay is saying he's going to be here a long time. Then why would you draft him? So this is one of my complaints, that when you are a head coach or a general manager, I have a GM, Brett Veach, Chiefs coming on next hour, you've got to prepare for press conferences. And this year, Matt LaFleur's got to prepare for press conferences. This is going to get asked a lot. Because once you draft a guy, everybody except Aaron Rodgers last 10 years, every quarterback drafted in the first round last 10 years except Aaron Rodgers has played in the first 2 years. Jordan Love's going to play. But you got to know how to answer the question. So we're going to do fake press conference. All right, fake press conference. I am going to be Matt LaFleur. Look at that. Very nice. I don't look like him. Okay, so John, let's have, fake press conference.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to prepare for this, fake press conference. I got my notes. And Joy Taylor is going to be a series of different hardened, cynical journalists. Go ahead.
Bill, Sheboygan Press. After hearing Aaron's comments last week about Jordan Love, how should Aaron feel about the team drafting Jordan?
Well, Aaron's a total adult. I mean, don't draft a quarterback in the first round if you think it's going to hurt your quarterback's feelings. I never had to worry about that. There's a lot of quarterbacks that would have been bothered by it. They're insecure. Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer with one ring and probably more coming.
Martha, Green Bay Press Gazette. Why did the team feel the need to move up to get Jordan Love?
Well, if your quarterback's 36 and has had a couple of injuries in the last several years. You either draft a quarterback or you go from 13-3, Martha, to 3-13 really quickly. This is a family. We're all in this together. We have not had a bad quarterback at this organization in 25 years. We're not starting now.
Frank, Lacrosse Tribune.
Hi, Frank.
How much have you talked to Aaron in the last few months?
Oh, I talk to Aaron all the time. He's the most important player in our organization.
Okay. Bart, Kenosha Times. Are you worried about the quarterback situation becoming a distraction?
For opponents, I think we're going to be very confusing to prepare for. Not at all. This is, in fact, this is year two. I am more comfortable this morning than I've ever been with Aaron Rodgers. I think our comfort level is sensational. I've never felt more comfortable with a quarterback in my life, with a player in my life, than Aaron Rodgers.
This is Wally from the Eau Claire Leader Telegram.
You guys are still in business?
We are. Going strong. Do you still feel this team can contend for a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback?
Absolutely. No question.
Shirley from the Cheesehead blog. How tough is it to coach a personality like Aaron?
Well, I don't really understand the question. I don't think... How hard is it to coach Aaron? It's the easiest guy I've ever coached. Every coach in the world wants Aaron Rodgers. Who wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers?
This is Joy Taylor from FS1.
I watch that show all the time. It's the one show in the country that seems to be brilliant and breaks news. And all GMs trust your show. The host, not so much. Joy, you're excellent, though.
Thank you, Matt. How long do you think Aaron will be a Green Bay Packer?
If he ages as well as Tom Brady, there's some magic potion in Foxborough. Jordan Love will be a really great trade piece in 3 years. And I am feeling very good about both the development of Jordan Love and the health of Aaron Rodgers this morning.
Colin Cowherd from The Herd.
Yeah, whatever.
Have you noticed a decline in Aaron's play?
Well, we were 13-3. You find me a head coach. If we win 12 games, are we declining? I don't see that. I know what I see on film, and Aaron makes more difficult throws than anybody in the league.
Has this team gotten better since last season?
Yes, because Aaron and I have worked together. I think the symmetry offensively is better. And remember, last year we went out and made several free agent moves on the defensive side. It takes years to adjust to a system. So I think on both sides of the ball, we're going to be more equipped for change, more equipped to quickly pivot in games and during the week. I think we're a better football team and a smarter football team today than a year ago. Was that difficult? These are not difficult questions. I mean, I don't understand this. Oh, we hope we have them a long time. Well, then that begs the next question. Then why'd you give up 2 draft picks to get him? Listen, all you have to say is if Aaron ages as well as Tom Brady, Jordan's going to be a hell of a draft piece in 3 years. All you have to say is if you don't draft what you perceive as a great prospect, our scouts come back to me and say, this is what we were saying about Aaron 10 years ago. If you don't take advantage of that, we're a rolled ankle from 13-3 to 3-13. I don't think these are difficult questions. I really don't.
I thought Matt was a little condescending to Colin Cowherd, if I'm being honest.
Well, Cowherd gets a little ahead of his skis sometimes. Not everybody likes Cowherd. Cowherd likes Cowherd.
I feel like a lot of your fake press conferences tend to lean a little Belichickian.
Well, he's the best coach ever. I'm copying the right guy.
You are.
Right. I'm not copying the 18th best coach in the AFC history. Yeah, I mean, I think if I was a coach, I would prepare for it and be very bottom line.
You know you're going to get these questions.
Of course. It was like during the White House when COVID first hit and the president would go out there. It was like they didn't prepare for it. You know what you're going to be asked.
You know exactly what's coming.
You have to walk up and go, we're going to be asked. I would hire somebody if I was a president or a coach. I'd have somebody in the building. Give me the 4 questions that are going to be asked
today.
Yeah,
they do. They have a whole entire PR department.
Okay, then why are you answering questions? Ask them Why can't you get it right?
All right.
Do-it-yourself projects at home, Lowe's. I'm doing it with my bar cart. Daily happy hour routines better than ever. Go to Lowe's.com. Show us your transformation. Lowe's Goals, Hour 3 next.